Here we go. I'm back on, and I think I've got everything going. Yeah, I got it going. Yay! let's see. I got one other thing I've got to do. No, that just goes plain. Okay. You're listening to an old man trying to figure out what in the world I'm doing here on this earth. Did you listen to Scott this morning? He's lambasting a young lady that tries her best. And Scott, I hope you're listening on the way home. Oh, me. We all have our crosses to bear. I loved listening to the gentleman that talked to Scott right before, as I was driving down here. The gentleman has country wisdom, I will call it. Do you remember Earl Weaver? Now, he was kind of a comedic country, but the only reason why I say he has this, our caller has country wisdom, he has a southern accent, and but he is smart. He is just absolutely smart, and I love listening to him. So, anyway, he's always welcome to call me now that, especially since Fred's not going to be here, did you watch last night on the television? I admitted yesterday when Scott asked. Okay, yesterday when Scott asked me about whether I'd watched the convention, and I had to admit I had only watched it spottingly because I was watching my Cubs. But last night I watched it from beginning to end, and the first night I watched it from beginning to end. And the day I missed in between there, my wife gave me the entire rundown. Ad nauseum. Don't get mad at me, my dear. My wife has a way of running on sentence, run on sentences. She can talk forever, but she doesn't talk to anybody but me. So therefore, I get all of it. She's a wonderful girl. Love her. Sorry, Carol, if you're listening. Carol's my wife, by the way. My dog is Cheyenne, and my wife is Carol. Those are the two women that I answer to. And then I also have Christine, and I have Tara, and I have Amy, are my three girls. Two of them are daughter-in-laws, and one is my daughter. And I kind of lean towards the female gender as my best friends, okay? I think women tend to think better than men. I don't know why that is, and I know that's a terrible generality. We guys tend to think like we used to think in junior high. Did you hate junior high? I hated junior high. No, I didn't hate junior high, but junior high scared me. I was a substitute teacher for a couple of years, and occasionally they would give me a junior high class, and I hated teaching junior high classes. The only time I ever threw a kid against a wall was in a junior high class. We were at this class, and he went to the bathroom about three times in a row, and I wondered, what the heck is going on? So I gave the class something to do, and I followed him to the bathroom, and sure enough, he was in the bathroom smoking. And so I walked in, and I told him, get out of here, put the cigarette out, and get back to class. And I was angry. And as he walked back to class, he walked in the door. As I opened the door, he went, nye, 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 you know, that type of thing. To the class to get a laugh out of the class. Well, he got a laugh out of the class, but I got the last laugh as I threw him against the wall. And I know that's not good. But it made me so angry that that's was my reaction. That night, the principal came to me and said, Mr. Coble, you can't do that. And I said, I am so terribly sorry. And I really thought he was going to tell me I couldn't come back. But the next thing he said was, you know, sometimes we got to make them know that we're a little crazy, too. Kind of gave me an off ramp there. So I didn't lose my job, and that young man never did that again to me. Now, I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, or whether it was a smart thing or a dumb thing for me to do, but that's what happened, and I learned. I did not like being a teacher. I had wanted to be a teacher most of my life. If I couldn't be a musician or an actor, I wanted to be a teacher. And you know why? Because I thought teaching was easy. Ooh, boy, was I wrong. But the thing that drove me away from teaching, I went to Butler, my first university, first of five. But I went to Butler. And or was it six universities? Nah, it doesn't make any difference. I finished at Valparaiso, started at Butler. So several in between, including Maryland, North Central Michigan, a couple others. Anyway, I went to Butler, and I signed up as a freshman to start my education courses. And I walked into class, and I was kind of a smart aleck. I didn't say anything, but I walked into class, and one of the first things the teacher, professor, said was that America has the finest educational system in the world, and we teach education better than any other country in the world. Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't think that was true. And I had seen a lot of documentaries and things on, you know, European schooling and that sort of thing. And I said, this is going to be a disaster staying in this class. So I just quit going. I had a really bad attitude towards going to school. My attitude was, if I didn't like it, I didn't go. I also knew that if I didn't go, I would probably fail, right? And I had one semester. Semesters were 16 hours. I had one semester of 16 hours of F. Why my father ever kept me in school, I don't know. I guess maybe I lied out of that or something. I don't know. You know, tell them I was sick for the whole semester. I was not a good student. If I went to classes and listened, which were, you know, I would say probably, except for that one semester, I would say most of the classes I went to 65% of my classes. If I didn't go to the classes, I would fail because I would quit going, not return. If I did go to the classes, I usually got an A because I listened so well. And I think I've told you that before. Being a minister's son and being required to sit on the third row on the right side of the pews, and knowing that Dad was always looking at all three of the children to make sure we were all awake, you learn to listen really well. And it was my savior. I kind of goofed around for the first, 3 years of college, and went off into the service and did my three years in the service, and then came back and finished college in 3 years after I came back. So in other words, I went to college for 6 years. So I must be really smart. I don't know. Nobody believed that. Anyway, but it took me 6 years. So I could not chastise my children when they got a poor grade in college because they knew my background. But I'm proud that I finished it. I had an interest. Well, anyway, I started out talking about watching the conventions. I'm looking forward to watching the Republican convention next week. I'm quite interested in what's going to be said, and I think we should all listen to both conventions to find out where the direction of the chief executive officer of the United States is going to take us. And now we all understand these speeches are written basically written for them, with them having input. When I was on the stump, I wrote all of my own speeches. I didn't have a speechwriter. And I would say that probably 90% of the people that run for office do their own speeches. The only one that I'm pretty sure does most or has 100% input to his speeches is Barack Obama. I've heard other people, both pro and con Obama, say that that he writes a lot of his speeches. His speech was fantastic last night. And I know there are people that hate him just because they hate him and they're not going to like anything he does. I'm sorry. I don't understand that, but yeah, I guess I do understand that. Yeah. Anyway, last night's speech by Obama was over the top. It was. I think he was competing with his wife is what he was trying to do, and I think he did a good job and competed well. He got. I would give him an A++. It was one of his better speeches. I am not going now. You know, I'm in the habit of reading these speeches, and I'm doing that so that both of us can have a little bit of an education. And I got a lot so far. The speeches I've read are from probably 60% of them I had never heard before. So I'm learning some. I hope you are. I'm trying to think who I'm going to do next. And if you hate the fact that I read these speeches, give me a call. Tell me. I don't want to be reading to people that say, oh, gosh, he's doing another one of those speeches. I'm going to have to move aside.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of Golden Grahams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
That was a very apropos public service announcement. Finish your education. I did finish mine. I probably wouldn't have had I not gotten married while I was in the service. But my wife had her degree from Indiana University in social work, and I couldn't be married to a woman and not have a degree if she had one, right? Who's in charge here? I'm sorry I stepped on that first public service announcement. I was looking at the wrong clock. We've got three clocks in here. One of the clocks says it's 12 minutes till 8, and it said that for the last 2 days. So I think we need a new battery. The other two clocks, one of them is about 40 seconds off from the one that's on my computer, but I can't see the one on the computer because it's got real little writing on it. You know, I have had my cataracts taken out, and my vision is much, much better, but when it comes to the little tiny print, sometimes I don't see it as well. Anyway, the conventions. I'm looking forward to both of them. We only have one more night for the Democratic Convention, and then I think we'll have three or four nights of the Republican convention sometime next week. I think it's still up in the air about where, when, and who is doing everything. Much like my wife and I thought that the Democrats had things all a kilter last night, but it worked out well. It was well timed with Obama giving a fairly long speech, but very, very inspiring, especially for a liberal. and especially for a person that cares about where our democracy is going. He was very strong on say we have to do things to save our democracy. We have neglected that a little bit, and he was calling us to put the current administration to task, and also to put the current leaders of the Democratic Party to task to get things done in a way that we can be proud as Americans that we do things. Anyway, I enjoyed last night. I was happy to see Gabby Gifford on there. Is that right? Did I get her name right? The lady, the senator that was shot. She has come back a long way. She did a nice job. She a little halting, but if you have a bullet go through your brain, I think that's something that happens. And she did an excellent job, and I was very proud of her. Speaking of that, the entire night made me proud. Now, I understand there are people that disagree with me politically, you know, and I'm more than happy that there are people that disagree with me politically, because if we had to run on my intelligence, I'm pretty much sure that we would do no better than we've done for the last 4 years. I'm an intelligent person, but I probably wouldn't be a very good president. Even though, if my mother was still alive, you could ask her. I told her when I was 14 that that's what I wanted to be when I grew up. I know, that's crazy. There's a lot more to politics than you know. A lot more than I knew. People call you bad names. They lie about you. You've got to know a lot of stuff about the position you're running for. The first time I ran for township trustee, I knew where I wanted to go, and I knew a lot of things that I felt we needed to do to better our relationship with Marion, the county trustee thing. I had an opponent that knew more than I did. I'm not so certain she knew more. She was much more aggressive in her attitude, and she defeated me. I don't know. It was not close, but it was not, you know, distant. But I had not done enough homework. I'm not sure she had either, but she was very aggressive. And I think in politics, being aggressive is one of those things that's good for you. If you recall, I've cited a study that I've read it a long time ago. I read the whole thing, but I've read parts of it since then that indicate that people who are conservative tend to be more fight or flight people, which means they tend to be more aggressive. And I think they're better at being successful politicians. I'm not going to say good politicians, because I think there are a lot of people like Joe Biden who may not be nearly as aggressive as, I'm not going to mention a name who's terribly aggressive, but he may not be as aggressive, but I think he will be very good at politics, especially right now, because he has so much apparent empathy. And I say apparent because you never know until the person actually has to do something along that line. Now, he has done a lot of things that are very empathetic. He's also done some things that people have criticized him for, with saying he has a lack understanding of where African American population was coming from about 20 years ago, and maybe that's so. And you know, a lot of people condemn all politicians for what they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. And I think we ought to be careful about condemning people for what they did 40 years ago. When I was running for state representative, the one thing I did is I did oppo research against myself to find out what people could say about me. And it's kind of scary. I don't think I found anything that would have caused me to lose the race on that thing. But I do remember, it took me all the way back to my pre-married days, where I remember going out with some girls that might not think I treated them well. Not that I ever did anything against their will. It's just, you know, that relationship is kind of fraught with that type of thing. So I tried to look at all the way back to probably about 18, and what I had done. I was a lifeguard in when I was 18 at a summer place up in northern Michigan, and I must admit I used my position to get a date or two. As a matter of fact, the lady that I thought I was going to marry before the woman that I did marry, I got a date with her because I used my position as a lifeguard to give her an introduction to me. Anyway, I never did anything I would say was... I did tell fibs when I was young. I told fibs. I have gotten to the point, and it was probably, I'd guess to say that it was cemented in my mind that you don't lie. By the time I was 65, I told the fibs all the way up until then. Most of them, well, I can honestly say I never told a lie that ever hurt anybody. My lies usually were things to get me off of having to do something, or so my wife wouldn't know I went and had a beer, or that type of thing. I didn't face criticism well, so occasionally I would lie. My youngest son is kind of like me. He told me one time, I heard that there was going to, because I was student teaching or substitute teaching at the time, I heard there was going to be a big party of all the athletes. And I said to Andrew, I assume you're going to that party, right? And he said, well, I told him I was going to the party. And I said, okay. I said, why did you say it that way? Why did you say I told him I was going to the party? He said, I hate going to those parties. He said, usually I tell him I'm coming to the party and then I don't go. Which was kind of relief to me because my eldest son would have gone to every party there ever was. Now, I must say, in my eldest son's defense, I never got that phone call that said your son's been brought in by the police. None of my children. I might have been lucky. I've heard a few things that my eldest son did since then that could have gotten him into some trouble. But that's one of the great things about being a parent. You sometimes escape some bad luck. I think we probably did with Christopher. My daughter, she may be messy, but she never did bad stuff. Except for with her boyfriends. She was kind of bad about boyfriends. And I'm not talking sexually, I'm talking about choice. She picked some boys that were, not intelligent. They were intelligent, they just weren't very, they were like me when I was a kid. kind of bent the rules and really didn't care about other people as much as we cared about ourselves. I think that's kind of a boy thing when you're a teenager. Anyway, it might be a girl thing. I don't know about girls. I'm not a girl, never was a girl, and never did understand girls. The one thing I never understood about the girls that my daughter knew were they were always mean to each other. Why do you do that? I guess it's out of, I don't know. one-upsmanship or something like that. You want to be the best girl, best looking girl in town or anything? Oh, that was kind of cool. I got, for some reason or other, I'm on a Facebook list from my high school, and they put all sorts of pictures of buildings that were up in Valparaiso, Indiana, when I was a junior and senior. That was when I went to Valparaiso High School. I had three high schools, so the first two were South Bend Central in South Bend, Indiana, and the second one was South Bend John Adams for 6 months, and then we moved to Valparaiso. Anyway, I don't know about you, but when I put stuff on Facebook, I'm thrilled if 50 people look at it. I didn't have any pictures of buildings or events in Valparaiso, Indiana when I was there. I did have a picture of when I played Bernardo in West Side Story, and I put that on. That's one of the ones I got 50 or 60 responses to. A lot of people remembered us doing West Side Story. We did it very well for a high school production. I put a picture of my wife standing on the sidelines of a football game in her cheerleader outfit. She was always a very slim, pretty young thing. We were not dating at the time, but I just happened to have that picture. I think I had it out of a yearbook. And she was standing there with a very worried look on her face. And she had every right to be worried for our football program. Until I was a senior, we didn't have a winning season for 10 years, I think it was. Now, as a senior, we did very well. That's kind of why I got the opportunity to play college football. She's just standing there looking out at this field. You can see some football players behind her, and I think our coach was behind her and stuff like that. But I just thought I'd put that in there and let people
see. Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that flipping the bird was invented in 320 B.C. than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 B.C. in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Well, we're back. I'm sorry about that. I always forget when I'm doing on the air that there are spots every 15 minutes, and I forget that, and... Much like Charlie used to forget those spots, I blow right through them. Anyway, I was telling you about my wife's picture. I decided, well, I'll put that on this website that shows a lot of high school and pictures of Valparaiso in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And so I put my wife's picture on there. I got 157 responses to that. I mean, you know, it would be different. There are people that get thousands of responses to stuff, but my average can't be more than 50, you know, and that's a good day. So it was kind of fun to see, and I kept telling my wife, hey, you're up to 142. Hey, you're up to 143. She just thought it was crazy that I put that on there. Anyway, I don't know where... Oh, well, it brings me back to one of the things I thought maybe I'd talk about. I wasn't going to talk about it today, but now that I don't... Fred Malone, by the way, was going to be my guest from the Marion Historical Society, but Fred called in, couldn't make it, so I'm kind of vamping here, and doing, I'm just kind of being a talker, so I'm just going to talk away. I'm sorry. Anyway, one of the things that all this has culminated in making me a very proud papa, as my kids would say, I have really had a good last 5 years since I retired, and nothing against my job at the credit union. I love the people, still do love the people at the credit union. But being retired, and I had to go through a little bit of a downtime. My first 6 months were rough. I was quite depressed. I mean, I just hated getting up because there was nothing to do, and I didn't have any responsibilities and stuff like that. So I went and saw a psychologist, and she told me after, we must have had, I don't know, half dozen sessions, maybe more than that. At one point she said, you know what you have to do, Glenn? You have to get out and get away from the house and do stuff. Like stuff you used to do. Be social, because that's the way I always have been. And so I found out that if I did that, my life was a lot better. I don't know why I brought that up, but I got to keep talking, right? So, hey, if you want to call in and help me, the number is 740-383-9944. You're welcome to call in and talk about anything. Talk about your high school days. You know, one of the things that I was talking about prior to this was pride. And I've really had a wonderful 5 years since I retired. I think it's five. It might be four. Let's see, 16. Yeah, it's four. I retired in 2016. September 16th, I believe, 2016. Not that anybody's counting except for me and my wife. Those 5 years, after I talked with my psychologist and she told me I needed to get out of the house and start doing things, I kind of wandered about. I'd go to have a beer with a friend or two and talk about a lot of stuff. And the more I talked, the more I realized I really wanted to get back into politics. I had not done well in my first foray into politics. And I really wasn't expecting to do well the second foray. But I decided I didn't want to run for dog catcher. I wanted to step up. So I ran for state representative. And one of the things you have to have in these days, which I absolutely hate, you have to have the ability to raise a lot of money. I do not have that ability. If you tell me, no, I don't want to help, that's okay. I'm not going to ask again, but that's okay. And I'm an easy put off, I guess. So I really didn't raise very much money. And my opponent, by the way, was one of the people that was given, what, $7,000, $8,000, something like that, by the householder organization. And the lady that's running for the position I ran for, state representative, in opposition to this lady, she's found out also that the householder has given that lady, or given the same lady, another $8,000. So she's gotten $15,000, $16,000 to run against, to run as a state representative in this district. That was kind of irritating, but I'll tell you what, the good thing about it is, after listening to last night's convention, I was so very proud of myself, and I know that's probably not nice to say. You're not supposed to be overly proud of yourself, but I was just proud of myself for all the things I have done for my beliefs in the last 4 years. I've run for office. I failed, but I ran. I got to talk to a lot of people about the way I believed. I had a lot of people tell me I was full of crap. And I cleaned that up, by the way. I had I manned the headquarters of my political party back when I was running for office. I'm going to do that again this year. What else have I done? Almost everything I've done, we've given a few nickels and dimes to my political party. We don't have much money being on Social Security, but when we can, we give $5 occasionally. I've done this radio show. I've done my radio show on Wednesday afternoon. Is it Wednesday afternoon? Yeah, Wednesday afternoon. Progressive Life, and there I'm more like I am today. I'm able to talk about my own opinions. Now, I want you to know, when I talk about my opinions, I don't ever believe I'm always right. Listen to my show with Scott. on Wednesday morning on the air from 10:15 till noon. He runs me down pretty good, and that's fine. But that's where we're going. I like having a show where people can say what they honestly believe. 2 weeks ago, we had 4 or 5, maybe 6 people call in and basically tell me they thought I was full of poo-poo. And that's fine. That's where they believed. I am not one that's going to argue with you about it. I will listen, but I won't try to embarrass you by telling you you're wrong. Now, I kind of stepped out of that 2 weeks ago on a couple of people when they were saying things that were just outright talking points. And when I use the term talking points, I mean lies or adjustments of the truth. And it's on both sides. I'm not criticizing Democrats or Republicans. Talking points are evil. There are two things that are evil in politics right now. Three things. Talking points, which leads to the second thing, lying, and then the what was the third thing? money. The fact that you can buy your way into office is the most corrupting thing that the United States has ever decided to get into. Citizens United did not help that. But the fact that we allow lobbyists, and they're paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to go around and, you know, spout their company's belief, and a lot of them, you don't even know if it's their belief. They're just trying to get votes. They don't care. Now, see, that's not the way a democratic government should work. A democratic government should, if you believe in something like less money going into the government, a small government financially, believe in it. That's fine. If you believe that we should have more things that the government pays for, believe in it. That's fine. But don't do it because somebody paid you money to do it. And that's kind of what lobbyists have become. And we've had a lot of lobbyists. Well, look at the NRA situation right now. We've had a lot of lobbyists. The NRA started with an absolutely wonderful idea of promoting conservation, promoting the idea of hunting in a respectable and safe way, and it turned into a money pit for 4 or 5 people. And believe me, I'm not criticizing the initial ideals of the NRA. I think they were done in a good way with a good thought. I don't hunt. I can't imagine taking the life away from any living animal just to kill them or hang their head on the wall. Now, if you have to eat, you have to eat. We raise poor cattle so that we can drain the blood out of them and eat their flesh. But if that's what you're doing, if you have to have venison to get through the winter, I understand that. I would do it too. That's what you have to do to live. But just to kill for killing's sake, the sport of the hunt, I find hard to understand. Maybe it all started when I was a kid I was out in our backyard in South Bend, Indiana, and we had lots of birds because we had lots of trees. I was in the backyard. I had a new BB gun. I did not shoot my eye out. But I had a new BB gun, and it was a very powerful BB gun. It was one of those BB guns you could shoot pellets or BBs. It had pretty high power. And I had BBs in it. I didn't have a pellet in it. A robin was sitting on a telephone wire. And I thought, well, I'll pluck that off. And I shot at it, and I hit it. I was so proud of myself for an instant, and then that robin flew off the line, the telephone line, and flew into the side of a garage, and there was this big blood splot where it hit. And then it kept flapping about, and I just felt horrible. I had given pain to this living animal for no reason, just to kill it. So I went over, and I hate to tell you this, don't listen if you're squeamish. I just beat its brains out with the butt of the rifle just to, so it wouldn't be suffering anymore. I suffered. I still suffer from the thought of doing that to that poor creature. That was kind of, and I had gone hunting once before that. We hadn't gotten anything, but I almost shot my foot off while I was hunting with my friend. but that was the end of it. I just decided I'm not interested in hunting. Now, I do fish. I do enjoy fishing. I haven't done it in about 10 years, but I did enjoy going up to the lake and fishing for walleye. I will eat some, but only if I eat it. And now I got to admit, we got so much walleye the last time we went, and we froze it. You know, we had it cleaned and frozen, and we ended up having to throw some of that stuff away because we just had too much. I don't have a family that loves fish. I like the way my wife fixes perch. Walleye's okay. She does okay with that. I'm going to take a break here and get back to this verbal diarrhea, as I might call it. We'll be back for after about 15 minutes. We will continue this, and we'll throw some trivia into it so we can have some fun. Talk to you later.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.